Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This podcast brought to you by Gowin Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
The heartbeat of Saskatchewan is agriculture, and 620 CKRM is proud to be your source for everything ag. Welcome to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with your host, Jim Smalley.
And a good afternoon. Welcome to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today, brought to you by Harvard Western Insurance. We don't judge. Here's another reminder to renew your plates today. Visit harvardwestern.com. And brought to you by the Arcola Co-op. You're at home here on Highway 13 in Arcola. Today we take a look at this week in grain markets. Wheat and canola prices are on the upswing this week. Hog prices have reached record levels this week. We have an outlook for the fall. Agriculture in the classroom increases its resource library for teachers across Saskatchewan. And we look at vertical farming, that's growing crops in an urban building setting. The farm weather is in its usual spot.
This is Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri News Director Jim Smalley.
Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Johnson's Grain, your first and last stop for grain pricing and crop protection. Grain markets were on the upswing this week. PI Financial Commodity Futures Advisor Adam Pacallo says canola was up $20 per metric ton for the week, while spring wheat futures gained 10 cents a bushel.
Well, Jim, starting off on the canola front, the November futures increased approximately $20 a ton. We actually saw last week, Friday, and the opening on Monday being relative low on the contract here recently, with the low being on Friday, $766.90 last week. This week, we did see a high of $816.60 on the November futures, but we've been declining kind of for the rest of the week here, where we sit to about $790 a ton. On the Minneapolis wheat futures, we saw an increase of approximately 10 cents a bushel. And in Minneapolis, really, wheat really just continues its sideways trend that it's had since the beginning of July, not really showing much strength or weakness. It has had a range from approximately $860 a bushel to about $950 here on the December futures. As harvest starts to pick up in the U.S., U.S. soybeans are higher priced than really the competition in other countries. So we are starting to see some weakness here on the soy markets, and that is, I think, spilling over to canola a little bit here. The USDA data did show a potential really extremely tight U.S. supply, but right now it's seeming that traders are a little bit nervous, actually, that the U.S. might put sanctions on China, which would just hurt overall soybean demand for next year. Then looking at the wheat side of things, really looks like, again, U.S. wheat is too expensive on the world market. Wheat, on at least on the Chicago side, has been carrying a bit of a bearish tilt here kind of relatively right now, and it is vulnerable looking for sell-offs. We did see, actually, Chicago rally to the highest level since July 11th, really before coming under some heavy selling pressure. Bearish outside forces for wheat really are ideas that Ukraine shipments are picking up speed, and really, there's just been sluggish weekly export sales adding to the bearish tone. So I believe, you know, wheat is trading sideways here, canola lower right now.
So what's the outlook for next week and beyond?
Well, I think one thing that all traders are watching is really how the U.S. dollar is near the highest level since June 2002. And this has clearly impacted the U.S. wheat market and potentially other commodities. The jump in wheat supply in Canada here has added to the bearish tone. with 2020 wheat crops expected to be 56% larger than last year. So again, right now we might be seeing some more harvest pressure, and that's what I'm going to be talking to clients about.
Back to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM.
This portion is brought to you by Prairie 6-inch Eaves Troughs. An inch makes a big difference. PrairieEavesTroughs.ca. And your Prairie Co-op Grow Team. Fueling farms, feeding families. In Cupar, Ituna, Lipton, and Strasburg. A labor shortage could be a problem for pork processing plants this fall. The Director of Risk Management with Hams Marketing Services suggests labor will be a key challenge as the pork industry prepares for the larger fall and winter hog production. Hog supplies typically increase as temperatures fall, putting added pressure on processing capacity. Tyler Fulton looks ahead to the last quarter of 2022.
Yeah, so we're at a bit of a transition point in terms of seasonality of the year. We've now kind of come out of the summer tightness of hog supplies, and we're starting to really ramp up in terms of hog numbers. But you know, we're actually running pretty similar to what levels were last year, or even levels of the last 5 years, an average of the last 5 years. So there's no big, no expectations of any big divergences from normal seasonality. But on the flip side, all of those heavier supplies typically means some pressure on prices. But on the flip side, on the pork cutout, we're actually seeing fairly firm values. I think there's pretty good indication that pork's performing pretty well in this inflationary environment, and that I think the expectation is that it's well positioned over the course of the next 4 or 5 months to continue to perform reasonably well in the context of the heavier supplies.
Fulton further discusses hog supply and processing capacity.
So we're seeing, some volatility from, time to time, just based on holiday days being taken, in particular at the U.S. plants. But the expectation is that we're not going to be running into really any major supply or slaughter capacity issues or constraints that would have a negative impact on prices kind of going over, going through the heaviest time frame of the next 2 or 3 months. So I think in general, the underlying concern is just the degree to which the plants can run at their rated capacity, given the labor issues. I think labor continues to be a real thorn in the side of the industry in being able to manage through COVID and through these inflationary times.
Fulton discusses demand further for Canadian pork.
Well, it always represents a pretty significant portion of the North American demand. One thing to note, though, is really China has really become had a diminished effect on North American pricing, and so it's really more the domestic market, I think, that's driving pricing now. But there's always a home for North American pork, it seems. It's just really a question as to, which country is willing to pay the most. As it sits right now, Mexico has been performing well. Japan is always a pretty standard top market for consistency and looking for, willing to pay the higher prices for that top quality product.
Fulton discusses the hog market for the fall.
So we do think that, there could be some price pressure. The reality is the futures and the forward market that's priced off of the futures exceeds really any previous year's forward prices at this time of year. So we think that there's some pretty good opportunities to secure solid pricing. But we would kind of maintain the idea that you should couple that with your feed purchases to the extent that you have to make those, because that's where the risk lies, is in that feeding margin, the value of the feed ingredients that you need to purchase relative to the value of the hogs that you're selling. One thing that has kind of worked in our favor is this weaker Canadian dollar. But you know, that's, it's, you know, really, it's impacting the cost side as well. And so, it just makes it important, I guess, to match those pricing decisions, those risk management decisions, on your feed as well as your hog side.
Time now for Real Agriculture with Sean Haney. Brought to you in part by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamps Integra Tire in Grenfell. Your locally owned Integra Tire dealers on the Source 620 CKRM.
This is your RealAgriculture.com update. Bring the energy of Real Ag Radio to your next customer meeting or conference. From your stage, we'll record an episode in person to inform and provide insight on the latest in agriculture. Email advertising at realagriculture.com to learn more about this unique keynote opportunity.
Tara Oosterhouse here with realagriculture.com. I'm here today at the Canadian Beef Industry Conference in Penticton, BC, and I have here with me Dr. Jody Carrington. How's it going today?
It's going well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Okay, so this morning you had a lively discussion here as a keynote speaker. It was, it's always great when we can talk about really difficult things and still laugh at the same time. So appreciate that very much. So one of the things you mentioned is one of the biggest issues we face is disconnection. Tell me what you mean by that.
Yeah, I think we're now in this place where we've never been this disconnected, despite the fact that we can easily connect, you know, on our phones or on Facebook. The thing that matters the most to so many of us is face-to-face connection with the people we love, and we're wired for it. We've never been this disconnected because we have so many things that will take us away from the things that matter the most, just to look and see with each other.
So what is this answer to disconnection?
Oh my gosh, in like 25 words or less? What we're talking about today is really just the power of acknowledgement, and particularly in ag, for sure in our rural communities, we understood for a very long time that it's about looking and seeing, honoring things on a handshake, coming over for coffee, jumping in the truck to say, let's go look at these cows together. Those are the things that matter the most, and it's remarkable. You know, our great-grandparents looked at their kids 72% more of the time than we look at our babies, and it's because we have so many exit ramps. And what remains true is the hardest thing we will do is look into the eyes of the people we love. Okay, it was true then, and it's true now even more. Except before, we lived in smaller houses, and all we had to do in the evenings was play crib with each other. And now we have so many opportunities to disconnect. And so the idea is, how do we really remember how to do this on purpose again? Stop by for the coffee, you know, give a compliment, buy Tim Hortons for the fella in the car behind you, you know, doing those things to sort of stay connected.
Now, you just mentioned these exit ramps and how we kind of often take them. Do you want to elaborate a bit more on that?
Yeah, I think that, you know, sometimes when we think about the accessibility of our phones, right? Or in the evenings when we want to have a hard conversation, or it's time to like, hey, what did you do today? Or, you know, how come this isn't done today? If I have the opportunity to just, you know what, I'm just going to watch my Netflix show. I'd rather sink into Yellowstone than I would about, you know, talking about the credit card bill or where we're going to go today or whatever the deal is. And I think sometimes we feel like, because our lives are so busy, we feel like we deserve a bit of that break, right? And that's not untrue. The purpose of, you know, some of the things we're talking about today is the importance of acknowledgement. And so even if we just reinsert that into our lives a little bit more consciously, right? Take our kids for a drive and get a Slurpee. At bedtime, sneak into, you know, to say goodnight to our kids, or really slow down long enough to say on a Sunday morning, let's have a game of cards, or have the friends over on a Saturday night. That is the thing, when we start to do that a little more on purpose, that's going to make a big difference.
Now, another topic you really broached today was emotional regulation, and do you want to tell the audience what that really means?
Yeah, it means losing your friggin' mind. So We love it best when people are calm. Okay, so if you think about this, if you're married, still, if you, you know, you're proudest of your kids or, you know, your colleagues, we like it best when people can use their words and stay calm. Emotional dysregulation is when we lose our minds. And if you have the ability to stay calm in times of distress, you typically do better in this world, right? In your relationships, in your jobs, and your mental health tends to be a little bit better. The only way you learn how to stay calm is if somebody showed you how to do it again and again and again and again. So we're wired for that as an infant. If I put a crying infant in your arms, you will regulate them and soothe them. You won't just be like, you know, use your words, calm down. We show them how to do it. And if we're surrounded by teams or family systems where there's somebody or a number of somebodies that can stay calm and figure things out with us, we learn those skills too. It's required. In order to learn those things, we have to be connected. And as you know, we started today's interview, we've never been this disconnected in the history of the world. So you see, the issue is becoming not necessarily as, you know, technology or video games wrecking the world. Are we, you know, struggling with our mental health because of A, B, and C? Is it about gun control? Whatever, you know, whatever the deal is, we're trying to find the answer. The answer really, in my mind, comes down to this idea. We've never been this disconnected.
Okay, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
This has been your Real Agriculture Update. You can find out more about this issue or many others at realagriculture.com.
It's your agri-weather forecast on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM farm weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. Mainly cloudy today, wind southeast 20, the high 19, the low 8. Saturday cloudy with a high 20 tomorrow, the low plus 5. Sunday sunny with a high 21, the low 9. Monday sunny, the high 24, the low 9 degrees. Tuesday cloudy, the high 15, the low plus 5. Wednesday cloudy, 60% chance of showers, the high 12, the low 3. Thursday, partly cloudy with a high of 14. Normal high is 18 degrees. The normal low is 3. The sun rose at 6:35 this morning. It sets at 7:11 tonight. And around the province, we have Estevan at 13. Saskatoon at 17. Swift Current at 17. Weyburn 15. Yorkton is 13 degrees. The hot spot right now is up north, Stony Rapids at 19 degrees. The cold spot in the southwest corner at Cypress Hills, 11 degrees, actually 10.5. Regina is cloudy and 15, that's 59 Fahrenheit. Winds are from the southeast at 11. Humidity is 66%. The barometer is dropping 101.7. Cloudy in Moose Jaw, 18. Winds are from the southeast at 18, gusting to 36. Once again, Regina cloudy and 15, that's 59 Fahrenheit.
This spring, apply pre-emergent Edge Microactive Group 3 herbicide from Gowan, Canada, before seeding your canola, peas, or lentils. Maximize yield today and manage resistance tomorrow. Always read and follow label directions from Gowan, Canada.
You're listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri-News Director, Jim Smalley.
This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers. Get fair market value for your assets with an online auction through McDougall Auctioneers, McDougallAuctions.com. And brought to you by Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. Agriculture in the Classroom Canada has expanded its resource library for teachers and other educators about farming. The Executive Director of Agriculture in the Classroom, Sarah Shimko of Ituna, explains further.
In partnership with organizations all across Canada, we've expanded our resource library, which contains digital resources and hard copy and print resources that teachers can order from us. So the new system allows teachers to easily filter and search by grade, subject, topic to find the resources that are going to really create an impact in their classroom.
Shimko says there is information from across the country.
We've always had a resource library where teachers could access resources, but it was pretty old and archaic. And so the expansion of the resource library, one, is more resources that have been added, some that are coming from different provinces where we're cross promoting and teachers can now access from all across the country. But also this system allows teachers to easily bookmark their favorite resources, keep track of the resources that they've downloaded, follow their progress for resources. It's also the same system that they'll be able to use to register for all of our fantastic programs.
Shimko says the digital aspect is useful in a large province.
And I guess you could say that was one benefit that came from COVID. The pandemic was our ability to now reach students all across the province through digital resources. And so the expansion that we now have of digital resources really makes a difference for those schools who can't always participate directly in our programs. Many of our digital resources will support the programs that teachers are doing on their own with the students or the ones that they're able to attend once, you know, things have opened up for us.
Shimko outlines the expansion of the Ag in the Classroom library.
We now have over 500 resources that are available for teachers to download or order from our resource library, where previously there was only around 200. And the ability to really filter and connect to the outcomes. So on the website, all the teachers at the click of a button can see which outcomes for the curriculum their resources connect to. And that makes it really easy for teachers then to find the resources that are going to fit what their students are really needing at certain times throughout the year. So it's both the greater number of resources available, but also the ability of teachers to really refine what they're looking for a resource. And all that is really important because teachers don't have a lot of time and they have to teach to the curriculum, of course. And we just want to make it really easy for teachers to bring agriculture into their classrooms.
Shimko says more improvements are expected in the future.
For sure. Actually, there's quite a bit to come with this. This is really just phase one, which is the creation of the accounts and the expansion of the resource library. But it will be, the dashboard will become the place that teachers will come to for all of their program information as well. We'll be able to integrate some of our very popular school gardening programs, which already had other kind of dashboards or portals that teachers could use. So our whole hope is that we make it really, really easy for teachers to participate in a number of our different initiatives. Organizationally, it's going to make it a lot easier to manage our programs and our resources and also to track our stats. And so we'll be able to know exactly how many teachers and students from which areas of the province are participating with us. And that's really going to help us identify trends that are out there, gaps that we see, so that we can be really efficient with the money that we're spending, so that we're making the biggest biggest impact with the fewest amount of dollars.
.com.
You're tuned to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This segment of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Degelmann Industries. Look to Degelmann for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies, small town lumberyard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. Vertical farming is becoming more popular. A company called AgriPlay Ventures is going to use 65,000 square feet on the second floor of the Calgary Tower next spring to grow a variety of crops in a vertical farm. There are plans to set up a farm in vacant office space in Edmonton as well. Company president Dan Houston says most vertical farming operations focus on growing things like leafy greens and really nothing more. He says they're taking a very different approach.
We made a system that allows you to grow whatever you want. So we can grow everything outside of root vegetables right now, although our third version for the third phase here should include one that allows us to do roots as well. And the idea behind AgriPlay was, instead of being limited by most of those groups to one or two fruits and mostly all the leafy greens, is to just grow everything. Because if you want to grow, if you really want to challenge and solve for food insecurity and do it profitably, you need to make sure that in every market you can grow around the local growing, so that you're not growing things that aren't going to be profitable. And the example I like to use that's really hilarious is, like, not a lot of people really, Hawaii is extremely food insecure, right? Like 90 to 95%, depending on who you believe, of the food that they consume is imported from a long distance away. But if you had a system that only grew, you know, pineapple, it would probably not be the best thing to grow there because they've kind of got that market cornered.
Yeah.
So you want to grow whatever the local group needs, and so that's what we built ours for.
That's Dan Houston with AgriPlay Ventures, which is starting a huge vertical farm on the second floor of the Calgary Tower.
The Market Updates with Jim Smalley on The Source, 620 CKRM.
Market Update is brought to you by Freeze Thalmann Lumber. Get everything you need to finish your projects before fall from Freeze Thalmann in Regina and Fort Capel. Grain prices were mixed in early trading. Viterra prices for canola rose 40 cents at $7.5705. One red spring wheat declined $1.89 at $390.10. The rest were unchanged. Durum, $3.9956. Feed barley, $3.0287. Chickpeas, $9.2595. Flax, $6.2767. Lentils, $7.0450. Oats, $2.5532. Yellow peas, $4.3113. Feed wheat, $2.8956. At Minneapolis, December spring wheat fell 2.5 cents at $9.26.25.
It's the Livestock Reports on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn, 842-4574. And now, the latest livestock quotes.
This is Grant Barnett with the Market Report, Hard on Livestock here in Moose Jaw. 1,100 at our pre-sort here on Tuesday, consisting mostly of yearlings, which sold to a very, very strong demand. 61 black steers. They came from the Allens at Davidson, 973 pounds at 231. 67 black steers, 926, 238 and a quarter. 887 weight steers at 235.75. And here's the topper, 40 red and black steers, 727 on the yearling end, 272 and a quarter. We sold 130 yearlings, one drag, 746, 230, 275. 65 yearling heifers, 820 at 226 and a quarter. 62 yearling heifers, 973 at 214.75. Another pre-sorted yearling and calf sale here for Tuesday, September 20th, and our 27th calf sale is full. The good cows on Thursday, they bring 98 to $1.06, and they have to be good to do that. Medium cows, 90 to 97, and the good bulls from 120 to 136. This is Grant Barnett reporting. Let's have one great afternoon.
And the latest Saskatchewan pork prices, $231.04 per CKG. Coming up, the resort.
This is the Saskatchewan Resource Report on 620 CKRM. Here's Jim Smalley.
Now the Resource Report, brought to you by Second Look Online Auction. Visit 2ndlookonlineauction.com to see what's up for bid. And brought to you by Western Ag Professional Agronomy. If you want to make cropping decisions with confidence, visit growmoreprofit.com. The grand opening of the Town of Assiniboia and District Recreation Complex will be held tomorrow at 1 p.m. The rec center is named the Southland Co-op Center. A full day of events are planned, including a free pancake breakfast from 9 to 11 a.m., bouncy houses, face painting, balloon animals, and more. There will be tours of the new facility and evening concert, including Tyler Lewis and Jess Moskaluk. The Saskatchewan government has proclaimed this coming week National Forest Week. The theme is solutions for a changing climate. More than half the province is covered in forests. Forest products last year exceeded a record $1.8 billion in sales, supporting nearly 8,000 jobs. Last year, major new forestry investments were announced. Historically, timber harvests in Saskatchewan remain well below what the forest can sustainably support. Currently, over 46% of the annual allowable cut is being harvested, but that's expected to increase to 76% by the year 2026. On the markets, the TSX is down 246 points to 19,313. The Dow has fallen 352 points to 30,609. Oil has risen 38 cents at $85.48 per barrel. The Canadian dollar is at 75.30 cents U.S. That's the Resource Report. If you missed any segment of the show, tune in to the on-demand Saskatchewan Agriculture Today podcast, brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. That's Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. I'm Jim Smalley. Good afternoon.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive Pre-Emergent Herbicide.